Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a new week. Another edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad to have you with us on this Monday. Want to start the week out by reminding you that we do this show each and every day. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. It's live at 11 o'clock on the Big X, which you can find at 1450 AM or 96.1 FM on the dial in Southern Indiana and Louisville. And if you can't listen on the radio, you can stream us maybe from your computer at work or your device at work. BigXSportsRadio.com. Just click on the Listen Live button. We're in the TuneIn app as well. There are all sorts of ways to listen to the program live. And if you can't catch it live, most days it replays at 3 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Big X. And, of course, we're on podcasting apps like SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. You could point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can find us in Apple Podcast as well. I get a lot of people asking how they can hear a recording of the show or a replay of the show, so I try to remind you of these options as regularly as I can. But thanks for listening. We get a great live audience from what we can tell with the streaming and those sorts of things, and we know we get a really good audience on the podcast as well, a growing audience of people tuning in that way. So thank you for being with us every day. And even here in the middle of the summer, the middle of the off season, the deadest time, if there is a dead time for sports locally and nationally and with IU and everything else in between here in the area, this is it. But we still roll through it and appreciate those of you that are with us every day, no matter the time of year, no matter what the subjects may be. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll do our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A couple recruiting notes to get to. We'll talk about Thomas Bryant as well. He is back with the Washington NBA team. We'll also talk about the Charlie Hughes shootout that took place over the weekend in Indianapolis with college coaches watching great high school matchups of some of the best Indiana high school teams. One of those players locally, we'll talk about this guy as well today, Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, is the latest of college basketball hopefuls in our immediate area that is really seeing his recruiting pick up. He picked up, I think, 4 scholarships here over the last day and a half. So we'll talk some about Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville coming up here in just a few minutes as well. Also, we'll dive into the NBA for just a second. All this free agency stuff going on is crazy. It's become a big part of the offseason. It really, the way ESPN and Woj cover it, it's become a big deal for the offseason as well. So as we all now are, I guess you could say, somewhat adopted Boston Celtics fans, as we follow Romeo Langford, we wonder who some of his key teammates are going to be for the next season. There obviously have been some moves with that, Kemba Walker as well. So we'll talk about that coming up in the headlines. Later in the program, I almost said Kyle Nedenrip. I was with him this weekend at the Charlie Hughes event. But instead of Kyle, it's who is always with us, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Kyle's co-worker, and he'll join us to talk IU. We'll talk about where Archie Miller and the coaching staff were at this weekend. We'll talk some recruiting, and we'll also talk some about the summer and the schedule and the team for next season as well when Kyle is with us in the next segment. He's always with us on Mondays. Chad Gilbert has some high school meetings at the State Association. Actually, the National Federation Conference is going on in Indianapolis now this week. And there were some big festivities over the weekend. Damon Bailey was elected or announced as a member of the 2019 National Federation of High School Sports Hall of Fame class. So that went on over the weekend. Chad is at some of those meetings this week. So in place of Chad in his segment today, Jim Shannon, the coach of New Albany, is going to join us. And we wanted to get Coach Shannon on sooner. It just hasn't worked out for various reasons. But he had the opportunity to go as a guest of Romeo Langford and his family to the NBA draft a week ago Thursday. Got to spend, I think, a couple days in Brooklyn, a couple days in New York, and go to the NBA draft luncheon, got to meet the NBA commissioner, got to obviously see Romeo hours before he would be selected by the Boston Celtics, and I know he had some fun experiences there. So we'll talk with him about that and about Romeo getting drafted, and also catch up on the Bulldogs. I've been trying to have some of the local high school coaches on now that the June evaluation month has wrapped up, and we'll talk with him about how the Bulldogs did this summer and get maybe an early preview of New Albany for the 2019-2020 high school season. Speaking of high school basketball, it's the dead period this week, which is a great thing. It means no practices, no workouts, no conditioning, no contact, no team meetings, nothing this week for all sports. It's an opportunity for the kids to be kids. The summer gets shorter, it seems, every year. This is the week they can go on vacation. They can go to the park and play basketball. They can play video games. They can swim. They can sleep late, whatever they want to do. So it's a good week. A lot of fun following all this stuff, even in the off season. But the dead week is a good thing. Some people advocate it should be a two-week dead period. I don't know about that. But nonetheless, the dead week's a good thing, and that's where we're at right now with high school sports here in both states, Indiana and Kentucky as well. All right, that's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Archie Miller, where was he at this weekend? There were some of these high school events across the country certified by the State Association and the National Federation, the NCAA as well. Indiana probably had the biggest and the best. That's no surprise. We are the best basketball state out there. The Charlie Hughes shootout was amazing. I think the final tally was 106 high school varsity teams that played across three or four different locations in northern Indianapolis. I saw, I think, 150-plus college coaches is what was reported as far as in attendance. Archie Miller was there. Purdue was there. There were a lot of big-name schools as well. And here's kind of a sampling for you. You expect Indiana, you expect Purdue, you expect Notre Dame. You obviously expect all the mid-major schools in the state and even in the Midwest to be there because there are so many college D1 college prospects that come out of the state every year. But also, I saw a list. This is just some of the schools that were there. Michigan State there, Michigan there, so a couple Big Ten rivals of our in-state schools in attendance in Indianapolis over the weekend. Also, North Carolina was there as well. A whole host of Division I mid-major programs were there. Also, it was great to see Hanover's coaches and Wabash's coaches and the smaller level coaches there as well, because they're all types of really good players, as we know, in our area and in our state. And it was just a terrific event. Everybody played four games, no tournament, no champion this year. That was a change to the event. But really, as I went through court to court, you could identify, you know, where the bigger game's at because of where the coaches were seated at. But you just look from court to court, some of these facilities like Carmel and Hamilton Southeastern, you know, they have three, four courts in a building. I think Hamilton Southeastern has six or seven courts on their campus that they can use for game play. So you talk about a college coach, you can drive to Hamilton Southeastern High School, park your car, walk inside, you've got seven options to choose from. Seven different games every hour and 15 minutes. And so just looking around from court to court, you see a team from South Bend, you see a team from Fort Wayne, you see a team from Indianapolis, you see a team from the region. There was somebody over, you know, on the east side of the state. There were Southern Indiana teams there as well. So just a great collection of games. Coaches, high school coaches like it because you get to play people that you don't have to see during the regular season. You're not going to go to Indianapolis and play in a shootout and get paired up against, say, New Albany to play Jeffersonville or New Albany to play Floyd Central or vice versa. That's not going to happen in one of these things. You're going to play different people, teams from other parts of the state that maybe unless you advance into the tournament, they happen to be in the same class as you, you're likely not going to see it. So that's why the high school coaches like it. The college coaches, obviously, it's probably not. Even though it's good basketball and it's team basketball and it's well-coached basketball and it's Indiana basketball where kids know how to play, they probably don't prefer it. I didn't talk to a lot, but I know the general consensus is the AAU stuff and the SHU stuff is better because you don't just have one or two or in some cases three or four college prospects on a team. You have, you know, 8, 9, 10 out of the 8, 9, 10 on the roster are top-level players, D1-type athletes. So, but still, college coaches, when you can go in a facility and see 7 courts at a time and wander through and see a lot of different players, you know, it's not a bad thing, that's for sure. Charlie Hughes Shootout, though, a great event over the weekend named after a great guy. One of the big winners over the weekend locally was Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville. He's got he had some scholarship offers. Remember back to the previous Nebraska staff, they had offered him a scholarship, but the offers really started rolling in this weekend. I talked with Coach Luce after his team wrapped up play on Saturday. They played 2 games on Friday, 2 games on Saturday, so they headed home on Saturday night. But here's who Trey has gotten offers from here recently. This is just a sampling of some of the schools that are after him and those that most recently have offered. Duquesne with a scholarship offer, Kent State with a scholarship offer, Murray State also with a scholarship offer, IUPUI with a scholarship offer. By my count, he's added 4 offers to his list of schools. Actually, make it 5. Akron from Ohio, they also have offered 5 scholarship offers for Trey Coleman, who by all accounts had a great June and finally got the opportunity to showcase that great June in front of college coaches over the weekend. 5 scholarship offers for him to add to his list of schools that already had offered and already were recruiting him. And Coach Luce told me over the weekend, as they were coming back from Indianapolis, that he got a call from Iowa. So he had a Big Ten offer from Nebraska that I think went away when the coaching staffs changed there. But obviously he's back in the fold. He's got those mid-major offers. He's got a call from Iowa that is interested, but no scholarship offer. We'll see if Trey can take or wants to take that next step to play the Division I game at a little higher level. But Trey Coleman, a player that has benefited from this June basketball, a player that has benefited from the evaluation period this weekend in the Charlie Hughes Shootout in Indianapolis. Also, a baseball note that I want to pass along in this first segment. I feel bad I left this off last week, but we talked a lot about Drew Campbell recently. He just completed his junior season at the University of Louisville. He had the big walk-off game-winning hit that kept Louisville's hopes for a College World Series alive a day or two longer than what it looked like might be the case. And that was an exciting clip that was made its rounds on social media. Anytime you see a local guy like that with a big play, it's obviously big stuff. So we talked a lot about that when it happened for the local Red Devil product. But recently, he made the decision to spurn his senior year at the University of Louisville. He was drafted by the Braves, and he became officially a professional baseball player on Friday. That's when he signed a contract with the Braves. He was the 23rd round. He was picked in the 23rd round, 697th overall pick of the 2019 Major League Baseball draft that took place earlier in June. So I guess I don't know enough to know that at that level, but I think there was some consideration of him returning for his senior year. But ultimately on Friday, he made it official with the Braves, signed a contract with him. We recently talked about him even after Louisville was knocked out of the tournament the day after the championship when Vanderbilt defeated Michigan in the final game of the series. He was named to the All-College World Series team, which was obviously a great honor and a great way to close out the college portion of his baseball career. A couple NBA notes with all the free agency activity going on. Boy, it is interesting to follow. I don't really understand all the money and the caps and those sorts of things. There's different ways for teams to spend money, and I think in some ways hide money and shuffle things around. They were trying to explain it last night on ESPN, but it sure is interesting to follow, and there's nobody better this time of year to follow than Woj of ESPN. Thomas Bryant, he reported last night, has agreed to a 3-year deal. It's a $25 million deal to return to the Washington Wizards, the NBA franchise that he had been with. So he's back with the in the fold with the Wizards, I think, as most people expected. And as far as Romeo Langford goes, no update that I have seen or heard on whether he will play in the summer league. I know he was not cleared for summer league practices, at least for full contact practices that began this weekend in Boston, getting ready for the Vegas League, which I think starts July 6th. So 4, 5, 6 days from now, that team will be headed out west to the NBA Summer League. But a Celtics note of interest, Boston Celtics signed Kemba Walker to a 4-year, get ready for this, $142 million deal. Of course, Kyrie Irving leaving Al Horford, that decision still up in the air. But kind of waiting to see what some of the more talented and experienced NBA players that will be around Romeo and the draft class for the Celtics this year, with some of the changes and some of the departures and still some expected changes and potential departures as well. But a big piece to the Celtics next year, no question about it, will be Kemba Walker. So he will be a key player in Boston during Romeo Langford's rookie season. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Stay with us, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. I don't know why I keep saying Kyle Nedenrip. I was with him over the weekend. It's the Indianapolis Star, but it's Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join us. Zach is the IU insider for the Star. We're going to talk some IU stuff coming up in the next segment. And later in the program, Jim Shannon, the coach of New Albany, who was at the NBA draft, will catch up on Romeo and what that experience was like. We'll talk about the Bulldogs for the 2019-2020 season as well. All still coming your way on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he's with us on Mondays. We talk IU sports, a lot of basketball and more, and that's where we'll start today. Thomas Bryant with a nice agreement to re-sign with the Washington Wizards, a $25 million deal, it was reported last night. And I don't know about you, but I've got a good feeling, I've got a hopeful feeling about Thomas Bryant and his NBA future.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the thing that they always tell you, every college coach says, is it's your first contract. It's not your first contract, it's your second contract. And it's the ability to kind of earn your way both to an amount of leverage in the NBA and also just, I think, an amount of standing in the NBA to be able to say, you know, I'm somebody who's here to stay. I'm somebody who's established myself. Thomas Bryant had a really, really good season. If I'm not mistaken, he either tied or set a single-season Washington record for field goal percentage. Obviously, he had a couple games where he was just incredibly accurate from the field. And I think that from Washington's perspective, it makes sense to keep a guy like that around. And I think from Thomas Bryant's perspective, it always felt like as good as Thomas Bryant was at times – in college, he was always destined to get a lot better once he went into the NBA because he was very young for his grade in college, because he was, you know, still kind of growing into his skill set and his body. He was somebody who'd kind of, you know, changed positions as he got bigger and stronger in high school and even into college. We saw him kind of doing a two or three different things, filling a couple different roles at times offensively. This is obviously a very positive development for him. And again, it all just comes back to, I know it's not the same coaching staff, but it still all comes back to that idea that, that if you're Indiana too, you want to be able to say, listen, you can come here, you can, you know, you can fulfill your NBA dreams and you can make the money that, that is going to change your life and your family's life. And that's what Thomas Bryant's doing now.
Just kind of a general note. I don't know that I watch it very generally, and I don't know about you, but the NBA free agency stuff that's going on now and the way it's covered, and I guess with Adrian, help me with the last name. I just refer to him. I refer to him as a Woj bomb when he's got some breaking news. But the way it's covered and the what it's become with all the whether it's something that's expected or completely unexpected is just crazy. I was watching SportsCenter last night or something on ESPN, maybe the baseball game, I can't remember. Almost like in an election night where a note pops up on the screen with the winner of a state or the winner of a race. There was a picture of D'Angelo Russell, who is somebody very familiar to listeners in our area, a great player, high school player in Louisville before he departed for prep school and, of course, Ohio State, and then made his way to the NBA. It came on the screen with a picture of him and the Golden State Warriors logo, that there had been a movement there with him. Just generally, it's just extremely interesting how all this stuff is covered and how big of a deal in the offseason it's become.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm fascinated at that move in particular. Obviously, Golden State loses Kevin Durant, and, you know, on the one hand, you can say, well, that's not much of a loss because he wasn't going to be healthy for a lot of the season. On the other hand, obviously, it's Kevin Durant. I mean, he's one of the best players of his generation, so even if you were going to have to swallow some months with him recovering from his injury, it still feels like a very big deal. But Russell's a player who I think Michael Grady, who obviously recently of Indianapolis and just that whole area, is now in New York and works for the Nets. I think he sent out a tweet last night to put it well, that, that Russell really kind of changed the narrative surrounding his career and what he was as a player, you know, who he was, and kind of everything that followed him from his time out in Los Angeles. I'm fascinated to see now how he kind of fits into that, that specific group, that backcourt, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and as he really clearly did improve in Brooklyn, just what's kind of next for him from a basketball perspective, going to a place in Golden State where obviously on the one hand you're stepping into a team with a lot of good players and a lot of expectation on and all that, but on the other hand you're also going to a place where you would imagine there's some shots up for grabs, and you would imagine that just in general we're going to see sort of a rethinking of the way that Golden State does its business here in the next, you know, few months.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. While we're on the NBA, Romeo Langford obviously at Boston. The big question surrounding him is he going to be cleared for full contact? Is he going to be able to play in any portion of the Summer League, which begins here in 5 or 6 days for the Celtics out in Las Vegas? But kind of as an overall viewpoint, I know a lot of people following the Celtics a lot closer now than what they ever have, maybe since the days of Larry Bird, but who are going to be some of the key players that are the leaders and the experienced guys and the key guys for the Celtics? Kemba Walker is somebody that we know for sure is entering the fold for Boston that will kind of be a obviously relied on in a big way for that franchise next year.
Well, and I think briefly it looked like the Celtics might actually get Al Horford back. Forgive me, I forgot him there. I forgot his name there for a second. But it looked like the Celtics might actually get Al Horford back when it seemed like they were going to lose Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. Then all of a sudden they weren't getting Al Horford back. So it really does feel like, on the one hand, as you mentioned, Kemba Walker, I think that's a really big one, and kind of replacing, you know, sort of what Kyrie Irving and maybe to some extent what Terry Rozier were for that franchise. On the other hand, I think if you're someone like Romeo Langford, you're looking around, and as we've talked about before, you're seeing a really young core there. You're seeing Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, guys that have been in the league long enough that you wouldn't sort of call them, you know, green and you know, totally unproven, totally sort of new or whatever. But by the same token, guys who certainly aren't established superstars, you know, sort of guys that are still kind of growing into maybe a world where they are, you know, alphas, if you want to say, in the NBA. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see just – where and how Romeo fits into to that whole dynamic.
Yeah, no question about it. Zach Osterman, he's the IU insider with the Indianapolis Star. He's joining us, as always, on this Monday program. Getting back to IU, or getting into some IU stuff here for a few moments. The big news outside of recruiting stuff and the coaches being on the road this weekend is there's an assistant coaching vacancy at Indiana. Ed Schilling is leaving. Not real sure who wanted to leave or what the deal is surrounding that. Don't know that we'll ever know, but we do know there'll be a new assistant coach on the sidelines for the Hoosiers later this summer, who we don't know, but it's a big deal. It's quite a shakeup in things, especially this late in the calendar. We've talked some about this already, but I'm curious your thoughts on the departure of Ed Schilling as an assistant coach and the opening this late into the calendar, into the offseason for the Hoosier program.
Yeah, I mean, it is surprising, and actually, I can't remember if we talked about it last week or not. Basically, it occurred to me, I was talking, you know, a lot of people want to talk about this late in the week, and I was just like, yeah, the timing is kind of strange, and then it occurred to me, I was actually going to a wedding up in South Bend this weekend, and on the drive, I was thinking, you know, when did those contracts actually expire for Indiana's first round of assistance under Archie Miller? And sure enough, the answer is that they expired at the end of June. All of Indiana's assistants, all three of the guys who signed as Archie Miller's sort of first staff, Bruiser Flint, Tom Ostrom, and Ed Schilling, signed contracts that had them sticking with Indiana through the first 2 years. And those things are typically sort of more or less automatically renewable if all else is the same. But in terms of the timing, I think that it's as much sort of saying, well, you know, we're just sort of choosing effectively not to renew Ed Schilling at this point. It is still sort of strange timing. I don't think there's any denying that, simply because you're talking about a point in the calendar. As you said, recruiting is obviously a really big deal right now. And it's about to be, I mean, basically all hands on deck for the best part of a month in terms of getting around to different events and things. And I know that the July calendar, as a general rule, is not quite as busy as it used to be. But it's still, you know, it's still a big deal that you're not going to have, well, I won't say that you're not going to have, but if you're not going to have a full complement of coaches, you know, kind of in the fold for the start of the July recruiting period. So it doesn't seem like there's been, you know, hard and fast movement yet on where specifically this job might go for Indiana, where exactly, you know, Archie Miller wants to take it in terms of the next hire. But it certainly is something that I would think he's going to want to move very quickly on, because if, you know, Indiana just needs that third assistant to be able to put him out on the road recruiting. It is worth pointing out, I believe this is still the rule, that you can put a director of operations type person out on the road to recruit if you don't have a full staff. I believe that is still the rule. But again, you also want to be able to just sort of answer the question of, hey, you know, these are our guys, this is our staff, and this is how we're moving forward.
Yeah, I believe you're right. When you have a vacancy, or if someone, you know, cannot go on the road for whatever reason, I think you have to just switch. Maybe you have to notify the NCAA, but there's a way to, you know, you shouldn't be down a person on the road, especially with Coach Schilling departing last week and big events this weekend. I know Archie Miller was in New York, also in Indianapolis, obviously at the Charlie Hughes event, but to not miss a beat as far as having at least a body out there, a coach out there to evaluate, I believe you're exactly right with bumping somebody up, even if it's just on a temporary opportunity so they can go out on the road and recruit. As far as Ed Schilling goes, he came into the program from UCLA. He came in with a great background in Indiana basketball, high school basketball. He came in with also with a strong reputation as someone that can develop players through skill training and skill work and things of that nature. And I assume that that was one of his primary roles on the IU coaching staff as well. Any thoughts on the different angles that Archie Miller could turn to replace him? Does he look for somebody that is a skill-oriented person that has a history of working with elite players and even NBA level players as Ed Schilling did? Does he look to the IU repertoire of family and coaches and people with connections back to the IU program? Any comments or thoughts generally on some of the angles that Archie Miller could pivot as he looks to fill this vacancy on his coaching staff?
I think you know, I would be a little bit surprised if you didn't see somebody who could, you know, have a little bit of that conversation about player development, just because I do think that was a key piece of Ed Schilling's sort of profile and what he brought to the program. And I just think that if you're Indiana, it makes an awful lot of sense to try and keep addressing that. On the other hand, maybe I'll get in some trouble with the fan base here. I've never been a big fan of the whole sort of, you know, hire an IU guy thing. I think that you hire the best coach. If there is a coach out there that has IU ties of any kind that really fits, then I think absolutely go for it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's to my mind, it's always felt, especially in basketball, but maybe in any sport, more like a bonus that you shouldn't just hire a coach because he's an IU guy. But if you can find a coach with strong IU ties that also fits everything else you're trying to do, then that's just a little bit of sort of added sweetener, I guess, more than anything else. For my mind, again, I think you always want to know how a guy's going to recruit and how a guy's going to connect with players. And I think that if you can find somebody that can really be kind of player developer feels like just a very broad general statement. Like what I think a lot of people would say, if you really sit down and think about what does that mean? What specifically are you asking that coach to do? But I think that if you can find a coach with a good track record and a good history of working with players, developing skills, sharpening things, and helping young players in particular get better, I think that would be a big plus.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Final subject quickly I want to cover with you was the recruiting period this weekend. We're going to talk some in the next segment with Jim Shannon of New Albany, not just about Romeo and being at the draft, but about the Charlie Hughes event over the weekend and what it's like to see college coaches grace the sidelines now, recruiting during high school events, which is something that hasn't happened, at least at this time of year. But Archie, I believe, was watching the Stepanak team up in New York, Stepanak High School, that has a number of Division I recruits. They were playing in a event up there and also in Indianapolis as well, obviously watching lots of in-state prospects at the Charlie Hughes shootout. It's a different time of year to see the coaches on the road, as we've discussed. We're used to seeing them on the sidelines of the AAU, the travel circuit, the shoe-sponsored circuits that take place in July. That'll still happen for one weekend, but a lot of changes with the recruiting calendar this year, and it sure was different to be at the Charlie Hughes event with Division I coaches there, not just the small school guys outside of the Division I ranks.
Yeah, I mean, this just sort of feels like one of those things everybody's kind of going to have to get used to. And I think, you know, it's funny, in talking to players, it feels like that applies to players and high school coaches as much as anything else, that all of a sudden, not that the high school stuff wasn't happening in June. Of course, it always was. Stuff like the Charlie Hughes shootout's always been around. The IB, the coaches sort of showcase for individual players up in Indianapolis has always been around. That, you know, you've always had like team camps and, you know, the NBA top 100 camp out in Virginia. But all of a sudden, just the dynamics of it are going to feel really different. And the idea that you're not just sort of asking kids or their, you know, their families or their coaches, hey, where's so-and-so going to be? But you're genuinely asking, you know, effectively, you know, where do you expect college coaches to be following you around? I know that's kind of an indelicate way of putting it, but that is suddenly just kind of part of the whole sort of firmament of this thing. And I know that we've talked about this before. I think everybody's just going to kind of get used to it, but I do think it's going to fit a little bit funky, like a fresh pair of shoes for a little while. And I think that maybe this weekend being kind of the first trial run of that, probably it sort of feels that way again.
Absolutely. Kyle, I keep saying Kyle Neddenrip. I was with Kyle Neddenrip on and off all weekend, so I've said two or three times earlier, Kyle Nedrip of the Star is going to – I mean, Zach Osterman of the Star is going to be with us. So my apologies to you.
Well, Kyle would have been a better addition.
He'll be with us on Friday. He's Fridays, you're Mondays. We start and end the week with the Indianapolis Star sports team, and I wouldn't change it for anything. Zach, thank you so much for being with us today. We will talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Okay, great. Kyle, here I go again. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Zach, again, thanks for your time. I don't know why I keep doing that, but I did see Kyle this weekend. He has all sorts of coverage, by the way, of the Charlie Hughes event at IndyStar.com/sports. And you can always read what Zach and I talk about, what he's writing as well, at IndyStar.com/sports. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with New Albany coach Jim Shannon. He was at the NBA draft a week or so ago. We'll talk with him about that experience, and we'll talk Romeo Langford, and we'll talk about the Bulldogs for next season as well. Coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program final segment. We talk with New Albany coach Jim Shannon about a number of topics today. And Coach Shannon recently was at the NBA draft watching one of his former Bulldogs get drafted as the number 14 pick by the Boston Celtics. Coach Shannon, I know it was a unique opportunity to have the chance to be in New York with Romeo and his family and get to experience some of the behind-the-scenes things that go on in addition to the draft on Thursday night. But what an experience. I can only imagine the thoughts running through your head as you see the cameras positioning down toward Romeo's table and know that he's getting ready to be announced as the 14th pick in the lottery position.
Well, hey, Matt, good talking to you. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, the NBA deal was, man, what an honor. Of course, I'd never been to anything like that before. First and foremost, it was great to see Romeo because I don't really get to see him all that often. He's a pretty busy young man. Once he went off to the University of Indiana, I saw him some, but sure didn't see him a lot. He was able to get back over Christmas and come in to practice one day, but that was the only time that he was able to step foot in our gym since he left, and the only time I got to see him is if we went to a game at IU during the season, which obviously we went to several and got to see him those nights, but sure was nice to be able to sit down in New York City at the luncheon. He was kind enough to invite both myself and my wife, and so I had never been to New York City. So that was quite an adventure in and of itself. But to be able to go to the luncheon and sit with Romeo and his family, man, it was quite an event. And, you know, obviously got to meet the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver. Got to meet Ahmad Rashad, a former great football player, played for the Vikings, has gone on to be a broadcaster for the NBA, and I think inside stuff was something he used to be on. But anyway, for guys my age, we always looked up to people like Ahmad Rashad. So I got to meet and talk to him for a minute. So yeah, from that standpoint, you know, it was quite an honor just to be involved in it. You know, again, the NBA stuff's all great, and being around those kind of people and getting to meet them. But the most important thing to us was the fact that Romeo included us still in his life when, you know, obviously he's gone beyond Scribner Middle School and New Albany High School Bulldogs and even Indiana University Hoosiers. Now he's on to the NBA, where really that's the pinnacle of anybody's professional life in their careers, and he's at that. And yet, you know, he still includes us, and it means a lot to me that I have that relationship with him. Once we went to the luncheon, that was great, and I found it first class that the commissioner went to every single table in the room and shook hands with every single person And, you know, there were 10 people at everybody's table, and there were probably 18 to 20 tables, if I had to guess. And he didn't miss a hand, and he didn't miss a person, and he didn't miss a 10-second conversation with everybody, you know, just to make you feel welcome. And it was just first class. And, you know, again, I would have never got to do that without Romeo Langford. There's no question about that. So we felt really good about that. And from the luncheon then, Tammy and I actually stayed in Brooklyn. And that's where the Barclays Center is, where the where Brooklyn plays its home games. And so we were, you know, 8/10 of a mile from there. I'm sure it cost $20 or something to Uber over there. I don't remember. But it was too far to walk. But we went on ahead and took an Uber there. And that was nice to be that close. And so we, you know, we sat like everybody up in the bleachers. We weren't down on the, at the table with the family. There's only 5 or 6 at his table. That included mom and dad and his sisters and his agent. Coach Miller didn't sit at their table, but he certainly had access to the floor. All college coaches do, which they should. I mean, they're going from that, whether it be going from Indiana, Purdue, Duke, it doesn't matter. You know, coaches are going to be pretty close. If they're not sitting at the table, they're pretty close to it, to where they can go down and shake hands with the player and his family and what have you before he goes up to officially put the hat on and become the next member of whatever team that just drafted him. So we weren't obviously able to do that, but next best thing, we were able to see Romeo with the family and quite a few other people that they included, but mostly just family. And we went into the, I don't know if you would call it the green room or not, but whatever room it was where they had the NBA had a professional photographer taking pictures of Romeo and doing some things with the basketball, and then of Romeo and his mom and dad and his extended family. And then Tammy and I got to take pictures with Romeo, and we got to take a big picture with everybody that was kind of there for him. So all in all, what a wonderful experience that I'll never forget. But the most important thing to me is just how humble and how much that young man has not changed just because he's now in the NBA.
Jim Shannon, New Albany's coach, talking a little bit about his experience at the NBA draft following his former player, Romeo Langford. Once he was drafted, obviously, I know there was joy that he made it into the lottery for a number of reasons, but when did it hit you, or when did you think about it, or was it immediate that, oh my gosh, he's going to Boston, which is not only a historical franchise, but also a team coached by an Indiana guy that had plenty of Indiana connections. You know something about Coach Stevens. You also know something about Gordon Hayward and a couple other players on that roster.
Yeah, it's really incredible, you know, how things work out sometimes. You know, as a kid growing up in Anderson, Indiana, you know, people were rabid about high school basketball and college basketball and all of basketball in that town, just like they are in New Albany. But, you know, back when I played in the 70s, 77, 78 was my 78 was my graduating year. It was nothing for us to get 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people to every game. I mean, that's just the way it was. And so I grew up, there were only, I think, 4 channels at that time, you know, this was before cable. And, you know, we all watched the Indiana Hoosiers on, because I think it was on WTTV Channel 4, maybe. Chuck Marlowe was big back then, and Coach Knight. And my family was all Indiana you know, fans, and it was just fascinating that here I am, a high school coach, you know, I've had a wonderful career, a lot of great players, just been blessed. But then this guy, Romeo, comes along, and because Mr. Basketball becomes an Indiana All-Star, obviously, a McDonald's All-American, so we get to go out and experience that. He gets to do all these things, get to be on ESPN a couple times, you know, things that I would have never dreamed that you know, just an average guy like me would get to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's at Indiana University, and I'm sitting down right behind the bench and walking across the floor when he's getting standing ovations. I mean, stuff that I would have dreamed about as a kid that I would have loved to have done, either as a player or coach, that all of a sudden I'm getting to do just because I'm coaching a player that gets to do that. So that was just, I can't tell you how memorable those will always be to me. And then, of all things, my childhood NBA team was the Boston Celtics. You know, all the way back to Bill Russell and Cousy. I was really, really young when they were playing, but I can remember Russell a little bit. And then, you know, of course, Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Dave Cowens and C. Sting and DJ Johnson, all these guys come along and they're just like my childhood idols. And I'm all of a sudden this kid I got who, you know, went to Indiana University is now playing for one of the most storied programs in the history of the NBA. He's going to the Boston Celtics, home of Red Auerbach, one of the greatest coaches that ever lived, and all the national NBA titles they've won. So it's like the Lakers or anything else like that. So it's been crazy, Matt. And, you know, I could talk about it all day, obviously, but what a blessing to have somebody who's gone to two great programs after he's left us.
Jim Shannon of New Albany talking about Romeo Langford. I do want to switch gears before we close things out today. Big weekend for all high school teams, including New Albany, before the dead period, which gives the kids and coaches and everybody a break this week. But your team was one of 106 varsity teams at the Charlie Hughes Shootout. I think there were 150 or more college coaches that signed in and registered to watch games at the event, spread over three sites across the weekend. You've been doing this a long time. You've had a lot of good players. You've had a lot of college players. You were one of the coaches early on when summer basketball became something you could do as a team that took advantage of some of those opportunities and took your teams over the years to team camps and other events. Completely different feel, though, knowing college coaches are on the sidelines, whether it's a handful or a lot at some of the games, they just add something to the atmosphere, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, the guys that ran the Charlie Hughes Shootout did a fantastic job of running it. It was well organized. It was refereed really well. There were a lot of coaches in attendance, a lot of really great players and great teams. And, you know, I can't say enough for how well, you know, how great of a job they did running that. It's no easy task running those big tournaments. And so we had a great time going up there. We're a little depleted right now, you know, with kids being in other sports and injuries. You know, Julian Hunter's still out for us. Julian came back from his broken fibula and was doing pretty well, really quite well. And then he started to get this stress reaction, kind of almost like a stress fracture, but a stress reaction in his other foot. And so now he's been out, you know, since the 1st of June again. And I can't tell you how much I feel sorry for the young man, because he's such a class act, such a great kid. And, you know, he cannot play as of yet. He goes back to the doctor this week, and we'll find out more about, you know, where he goes from here. I think he's out of the boot now on that foot, and he can start rehab, and hopefully he'll get back here sooner rather than later. I know he'll be ready for our season, but I was really hoping the young man could play AAU this July so that some college guys can watch him play. But, you know, other than that, our other kids did quite well and have, you know, done the best they can. We're playing a lot of young kids up on the varsity this summer who probably, in all intents and purposes, will probably be JV players. But they've done an admirable job of doing the best that they possibly could. So we've really enjoyed it. We're in a dead period now, so we got this week to where we can't be around them, as you well know, and they need a break. And then we'll get back. Once school starts, we'll get back in there and we'll start going again.
Jim Shannon of New Albany. Coach Shannon, thanks so much for the update, and we'll talk with you again, I know, very soon.
Well, really appreciate you having me, Matt. Take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Jim Shannon, New Albany coach with us, talking about Romeo, talking about his team for next season as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. We'll be back Tuesday with Greg Doyle and more at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.